So 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 19. Let's see. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom we did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are the most pitiable. So he's saying that, you know, there's some people that were saying, well, that, you know, there's no resurrection from the dead. And Paul is saying, well, you know what, if there's no resurrection from the dead, we're in a heap of trouble. Because if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ isn't risen, we're still in our sins. And we, of all people, are the most pitiable, because we're going around thinking we're saved, thinking somehow we have a relationship with God, and we don't. We're fools. And, you know, actually, a lot of people think that. A lot of people that aren't Christians think this is just another religion, or there's all these ways to God, and we're fools because we believe on Christ. Well, if Christ hadn't risen, that's true. And it really, everything centers up on that fact. It's a historical fact. I mean, it's not a story. If it was a story, we are stupid. We are fools. We are just deceived. But is a historical fact that Jesus came and he was seen by many people. That's why we have four accounts of Jesus' life. People that saw him, people that saw what happened, you know, the gospel accounts, and then other people that had seen him. And we're going to read some of that, but it's a historical fact. It's a document. These are historical documents. You know, they're historical documents that all this indeed happened, that Jesus was a real person, that he died and he rose from the dead, and he was seen after he rose. He was seen. So it wasn't, you know, some scheme by the disciples to steal his body and to say it, even though that was said. That was all just a scheme. But he, you know, he walked through walls and just came in where they were and talked to him. So it was real. And it is real, and of course we believe that, but that's the central fact, that he rose from the dead, and he paid the price for our sins. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28:1. So, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" And so you can go down, let's just read the rest of it. Verse 11, "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So Jesus appeared to these women, and then he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to many other people. And this was written, this account, I mean, so this is the Bible. This is a historical account. This is like, you know, people have different historical documents, the Declaration of Independence, and what we, when we have the originals, and we look at that, oh, this really happened. Well, this is what this is. They have all the manuscripts and different, you know, things of these original things. We have... This is not just some story. This is history. And we have the choice whether we want to believe it or not, all of us. And so we've chosen to believe this. We've chosen to believe that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. Over in John, I'm just going to turn over there quick. John, let's see, verse 30. Chapter 20, verse 30. Just turn over there real quick as we're going to our next scripture. But John says this as much. John 20, verse 30 and 31. He says, this says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So that he's saying, this is the reason I wrote this. This is the reason I wrote this, so that you would have an account, so that you would see that this is true. Go back to chapter 19, verse 35. He says the same thing. Here he's talking about, you know, the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, immediately blood and water came out, and he said, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true." He's talking about himself. "And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." These things are written down so that we may believe. The whole Bible is written so that we can believe, so that we have a document, so that we know that what is truth. And these things specifically about the life of Jesus are written so that we may believe. Why don't you turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Everybody has a choice. You know, he said, so that you may believe, so that through the words of John and others, their testimony, we have a choice whether to believe this or not. Everybody on the face of the earth has a choice. They can choose to believe it, or they can choose to lay it aside. And that's the crux of everything that's going on in the world right now. It's either people are believing on God and believing what Jesus did, or they're not. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declared to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," or Peter, "and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep or died. Verse 7, after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." And then he goes on and says some other things. But he's saying, this is the case. Jesus came, this is the gospel I delivered to you, he's telling these people. That Jesus came, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and he was seen by all these people, 500 people at once. That he was seen by 500 people at once, the risen Christ. That's a historical, documented fact, you know, that these people have given their testimony. They've seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. And because of that, we can believe. We can believe today because of these people's testimony. 1 Corinthians 15:20, just skip back to verse 20 there. So verse 20, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, if they believe." If they believe, through Christ rising, all shall be made alive. Now go over to Romans 5, 1 through 2. Actually, go back. He's talking about Abraham here and that the righteousness that was imputed to Abraham. But go back to chapter 4, verse 23, or verse 22. "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." He's talking about Abraham. In verse 23, it says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for also for us." He's talking about that Abraham was promised that his seed shall be a blessing to all mankind. And so verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed, the righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up." Why was Jesus delivered up? "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So because of our offenses, he was delivered up, and he was raised because of our justification. And because we have believed on him, we are justified by faith, and we stand in this grace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have access by faith into this grace. Because he rose from the dead, because he came, because we believe that testimony, because we acted on it, and we stand right with God because of what Jesus did. Because of that precious blood. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Thank God. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who made us right. It says in verse 17, 1 Peter 1, verse 17, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Thank God. I mean, we're just going through some scriptures. This what we are celebrating today is him rising from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, because that is an historical fact, all this other stuff follows. It's not, and it, you know, these are the scriptures that show us that because he rose from the dead, we are right with him. Because he rose from the dead, the grace of God provided a way for us to be made right with him, and because we believe it, we tap into what has already been done. Because he has died, he put the ability there. Like it said that, you know, in the other scripture, we read that the whole ransom has been paid. That because of him, the whole world can live. Like we sang this morning, that the whole world, he made the way for the world to live again. But not everybody will accept it. It's there. It's paid for. But because he's risen from the dead, it's all there. We just buy it. So then our faith just says, yeah, I believe it. I believe that testimony of John. I believe the testimony of Matthew. I believe what Paul is saying. I believe that he rose from the dead, and I take it. I take that righteousness, and I believe it now. And so we didn't do anything other than believe it. We decided that. We believed, and that it comes down to, it's not showing up at church. We know this, but we're just declaring it today. People all over the world are celebrating Easter today. And half of them, and half of them, I don't know the percentage, there's a good percentage that don't have a clue really why. They just know that their parents told them that Jesus is the Son of God and blah, 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 but they don't really believe it. If you got down and said, did Jesus die for your sins and so that you are completely right with him, a lot of people really don't believe that. They're just repeating something they've heard, but they have not believed from the heart. They don't really believe it's a historical fact. There are people, then, if you go further, they might have received Jesus as their Savior, but they don't realize what he actually did, that they are righteous, that the full impact that he has had, that we are actually righteous before God right now. They still think they have to please God through their own works. They believe that they have to earn something with God, that Jesus partially did it, but then we still have to do things to earn his approval. And see, that's like partial gospel. See, Easter is such a celebration because God made a way for us to come back and be in fellowship with him all the way. Because of his grace, he took us from where we couldn't. I mean, the gospel is grace. Because we receive whatever God has done through faith. But it's his grace that made it possible. Because we were so far out of the realm of pleasing God in and of ourselves. I mean, it's not even worth comparing. Like Paul started out saying what we said here. If Jesus hasn't risen, you're in your sins. Period. I don't care how good of a person you are. You're in your sins. No deal. If Jesus has not risen, you're not close. You're not almost there. It's not even worth talking about. You are not, you don't have anything, no negotiations. Off the table. We're all dead in our sins. God's not saying, well, you know what, I'm going to take one. You know, one person, the best person on earth, I'll take them. Everybody else, you gotta let. No, we are so far out of playing without Jesus. Jesus took us from where we couldn't be. We were completely without a Savior, and he took us and made us kings and priests with him, seat us in heavenly places with him, made us righteous with him. Today we are righteous with the King of the universe because of Jesus. And that we were over here, we couldn't do anything, and now we are royalty with him. So people still think, though, that they think, well, I'm saved, but I'm still over here. In their attitude. I still have to do all these things and beg God or do something. You realize over in other countries, and while I was over in a certain country, they were doing this, and I mentioned this probably last year, but you know, they actually, people let themselves be crucified, not to the point of death, but they let themselves be nailed to the cross because they believe it pleases God. They allow themselves to be scourged as Jesus was scourged because they believe it pleases God. And some people do it every year. It's a ritual with them. They go and actually allow themselves to be put these nails. So they have scars there and they keep just going through every year. And they think that pleases God. And what it must do to the Father's heart to say, I already paid the price. This means nothing. My son paid the price. Anything you do is nothing compared to what my son paid. It's finished. It is finished. My son has paid everything. So when we walk up to God, we know that we are right with him because of what he did. And anything else in the Christian life is the same way. If we could get from over here to being a king's kid over here, what makes us think that somehow we're going to work it up and work all this stuff up to somehow earn these things, these blessings of God? It's already done. If we can get over, if we can come from over here and get over here to be in the family of God, all the blessings are ours. And how are they received? They're received by faith the same way we got in the family. Now, what's faith? Is it working, you know, spending 10 hours with your nose in a Bible till you really think you have faith? No, it's the same way we heard about Jesus, that there was an account in here that Jesus came, he was buried, he rose from the dead, and if you believe on him, you'll be righteous. Well, then if we read something else that he died also so that his broken body was a way for me to be healed, or he made a way for me so that I could have all my needs abundantly taken care of. If it's in there, then how do we receive it? We believe it. We didn't make it happen. It's there. We say it's there. His grace has provided it. If he made a way for the greatest miracle ever to happen, and then we think we have to somehow, and this is the way sometimes we get thinking that, well, will God do this? Well, do I have enough faith? Do you have enough faith to get saved? It's either you believe it or you don't. I mean, how do we get saved? We believed that Jesus was indeed a person and that he did what this says, and I believe it. And if we believe it, then we have it. Well, it's the same way. Anything else, if it's already in the Bible, then we believe we have it. That's all that faith is. And then if we don't see it, we don't believe because of our sight. We believe because the Bible says it, because God promised it. And that's all that's what it comes down to, and that's how we're supposed to walk. Let's turn over to 2 Colossians 2:6. So we could be so excited on Easter Sunday. It is, the central holiday, our central celebration in Christianity, because without this, we are nothing, but with this, we have everything. Colossians 2, verse 6. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh and by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. So when he was raised, we were raised ahead of time, as long as we tap into it. Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Thank the Lord God. He said, right from the beginning, I want to read in verse 6, he said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. If we received him, knowing that we can't do anything and he has to do everything, that's the way we walk. We don't have the ability to walk the victorious life we're supposed to walk in ourselves. And so tempting to get over to think, well, if I do this and do this and do this, then God will move. God has already moved. Like he said, don't be duped. He said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That everything is in Christ. That everything that we're looking for is in Jesus. It's in him. It's finished. When we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the fact that the Savior of the whole world came and paid a price, made a way so that we could have everything that God intended for us to have from the foundation of the world. It's ours. Don't be cheated. Don't be cheated into some religious thing that thinks, we look and we shake our heads at when we hear somebody that would crucify themselves, and we say, well, I can't believe they would do that. Don't they understand? But we have a temptation to do that in our lives. We think, oh man, if I just do this and this and this, then God will move. And God's saying, it's already done. It's already done. You just believe. Your part is to believe. See, that seems like a cop-out sometimes because we're so performance-oriented. You get a job review. How'd you do? If you didn't do well, You know, there's consequences. If you did well, there's consequences. Everything is like that. But through Christ, we were taken from nothing and made a king's kid. And we have to change our minds that with God, it's just believing. You realize, I mean, there's people that live way holier than I do, probably. Guess what? If they don't have Jesus, they're not right with God. And see, we like, no matter, it's so easy, even if we know that truth, to start thinking that, well, I'm doing this and this, so I feel better about approaching God to answer my prayers. Guess what? Whenever we do that, we've gone out of looking at Christ and we're looking at ourselves. And we just want to keep our eyes focused on Him, whether we're doing great or whether we're not doing so great. It's about Jesus and Him, and we look at Him and that we are in the family of God because of Him. Because we were raised and justified through Him, through His sacrifice. And that's what we celebrate today.